Our first scripture reading for this day of Pentecost is found in the book of Numbers. And we read Numbers chapter 11, verses 24 through 30. Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord. And he gathered his 70 men of the elders of the people and placed them around the tent. And the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And as soon as the spirit rested on them, they prophesied. But they did not continue doing it. Now two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other named Medad. And the spirit rested upon them. They were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent. And so they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." And Joshua, the son of Nun, the assistant of Moses from his youth, said, "My lord Moses, stop them." But Moses said to him, "Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his spirit on them." And Moses and the elders of Israel returned to the camp. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from the book of Acts, the account of the day of Pentecost. And we read Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And the divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now they're dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together. And they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear each of them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others, mocking, said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. This is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall see dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit. and they will prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is recorded in the Gospel according to Saint John. And we read from chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. My text for today, well, could be any one of our scripture readings, but let me just repeat the words of Jesus from our gospel lesson, because the subject matter is the giving of the Holy Spirit. Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. This is our text. As I said, the subject matter for today's message is the Holy Spirit. Not just who he is, but how you get him. And there's a lot of confusion in our world with regard to that. Every now and again, I've heard people say or read material where it is stated, "Well, I'm spiritual, but I'm not really religious." As if somehow having the Holy Spirit can be something that you do without really being connected to the church. Now, granted, you know, if you have a Bible and you're stranded on a desert island someplace, can you believe in a Jesus and be saved? Yes, absolutely. But one of the things that we needed to remember about who Jesus is that he's not just an idea. He's a person. And if you ask where he is, it's not just in heaven. Do you want to be connected to the real Jesus, the one who has flesh and bones that were resurrected from the dead? You want to be a part of Jesus' body. Well then, if you ask of Scripture, where is the body of Jesus, you'll get different answers, all of which are true. Yes, he is resurrected and dwelling on high in heaven with his body. But he also tells us in Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, for instance, or chapter 10, that the body is the church. In the Gospel of Matthew, he says, "For wherever two or three are gathered in my name," we don't have many more than that here today, But wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Yes, Jesus is in heaven, but he's also in the body of believers. Not simply a couple of Christians out there playing volleyball or having a pizza party. But when we gather in his name, when we gather to hear his word proclaim and to receive the sacraments, there also is Christ. And particularly in the celebration of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, which we're going to begin again next week. And at least for the foreseeable future, all of our church services, because of the nature of things, will include a celebration of the Lord's Supper. When we come forward to celebrate that meal, as Jesus himself said, "Take and eat, this is my body." Do you want to be joined to Christ? Jesus said about that meal, about that body and that blood that we receive in the meal, that we do this to remember him. So what was the day of Pentecost all about? Was it simply about putting the Holy Spirit into the hearts of people? Scripturally, that's not what was happening on the day of Pentecost. Let me read again to you the words of our text. "Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Whom those who believed in him." Notice the tense, the grammatical term of that phrase. It's a past tense. There are already people who were believers in Jesus. There were already people who could say, "Jesus is Lord." And as Paul says in 1 Corinthians, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There were people who already had the Spirit of Christ dwelling within their hearts. But something else was going on the day of Pentecost. And you might recall that when Jesus spoke to his disciples before ascending into heaven, he told them that they needed to be in Jerusalem. Now, there was a belief in Judaism that the Spirit's presence was gone in Jerusalem. The Spirit's presence, if you read through ancient Jewish literature, was represented by that pillar of fire that had come to rest originally on the tabernacle that Moses built in the wilderness, but later over the temple itself that Solomon had built. Upon its dedication, smoke filled the rooms. It came down from heaven as a sign that God dwelt there. If you wanted to worship the true and saving God, the God you had to worship was the God who made himself known, not just through dreams and visions, But through all those festivals, and through all those sacrifices that were taking place in the temple where God had designated his place to be. And to get, if you will, more specific, not merely in the whole temple, but in the Holy of Holies, above the Ark of the Covenant, the place where on the Day of Atonement, the blood of a perfect lamb would be placed. God said, between the two cherubim there, that's where he would be. And when he looked down upon the Ark of the Covenant from that position, which contained the law of God, in between him and the law was what was called the mercy seat, where the blood of a perfect lamb was placed. What a beautiful vision that tabernacle originally, and later that temple was, of our relationship to God. For the law stands and condemns us all, but between that condemnation of the law and God's vision of us is that blood of the Lamb. So that when he looks upon us, he sees us as perfect in his sight. If you wanted to be spirit-filled in the Old Testament period, you had to be connected to the temple of God. That was the place where you found God. That's where you went to know him, to worship him, to be reminded of the forgiveness that you have from him. And God's presence there was made known by fire and smoke. And it was believed in Judaism at the time of Christ that that holy and fiery presence of God was missing from the tabernacle or the current temple. Because when it had been rebuilt, no smoke filled it. No fire came down from heaven. Jesus told his disciples, go to Jerusalem, and there you'll receive the Holy Spirit. And if you were a Jew living at that point in the time, and all of a sudden you heard loud noises, and you saw holy fire resting on the heads of the disciples, you know what you'd think? You'd think God had returned, that his Holy Spirit was now present again. But it wasn't present at the temple. The means by which God communicates his salvation was being changed. If you asked God, where are you? It would no longer be at that geographical place in Jerusalem, at a temple made with hands, but it would be with his church, bringing the word of God to the world, gathered in his name to proclaim it, gathered in his name to hear it, gathered in his name where he said his presence would dwell, gathered in his name where his body and his blood are really and truly and physically present. In the supper that Jesus gave us to remember him. If you want to be spiritual, if you want to connect to Christ, if you want His Holy Spirit to make its presence felt in your life, you're not going to find it sitting on a mountaintop. You're not going to find it out fishing. You need not look inward to find it. You need to look to the places where God said His Spirit would be at work, in His Word and in His sacraments. How do you make disciples of Jesus? Well, Jesus Himself described that process in Matthew 28. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. Another means by which we get the Spirit. And teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. Like remembering Him in the Lord's Supper. Like being in His Word. Like gathering with others in His name, where He says, where two or three are gathered in My name, there am I in the midst. If you want to be spiritual, if you want to be filled with the Spirit, those are the things we do. And what a great thing it will be, though we've been sustaining ourselves over this last several months, by these wonderful tools that we have to bring the Word of God to people over the airwaves, but to join back together, to have the comfort that comes from receiving the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, to remember Him in that special way as His body touches our body, as His blood becomes part of our blood, to receive comfort and encouragement, not just from the pastor, but from our fellow believers, as we visit together and talk about God's Word together. We do thank God that we have these new means to accomplish that. But the work of the Spirit is not confined simply to reading by yourself, or sitting at home and watching a program on TV. God didn't design us to use kind of the common language to be spiritual without being religious. We look forward to being together again, where people are truly gathering together in His name, and where that body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ again becomes part of our body and blood. And the Word, the work of the Holy Spirit proceeds in the means by which the Holy Spirit accomplishes His work today. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.